Robin will begin with a brief discussion about the group's key highlights in quarter one, followed by Patricia giving some color to our financial performance, and then Robin will provide the outlook for the business. Thereafter, there will be the Q&A session. So without further ado, let me hand over the time to Robin. Thank you.
Thank you, Romil. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before we proceed to the details of our performance for the first quarter of 2021, I hope that everyone is keeping safe, healthy, and well as we continue to grapple with the effects of the pandemic. Let me begin by giving some key highlights of our business in the first quarter of 2021. Before I proceed, let me emphasize that from this quarter, our reported performance excludes contributions from our former materials segment, which produces lead frames. Thus, ASMPT's continuing operations will henceforth comprise only the SEMI segment, or SEMI, and the SMT Solution segment, or SMT. Now, let me highlight some key developments for quarter one. Firstly, our revenue and bookings surpassed guidance. Patricia will get into that in more details under financial highlights, but I will say that both the SEMI and the SMT segment bookings level for the quarter were at record levels, indicating continued in the face of improving market conditions. Next, we saw sharp margin improvement. The performance of both segments contributed to the strong year-on-year and Q-on-Q growth in the group gross margins. We have also benefited from the overall automotive recovery and automotive electrification trends, which will continue to be a longer-term growth driver for our business across both SEMI and SMT segments. We demonstrated superior execution amidst supply chain challenges as well. As key markets rebounded from the pandemic after a fairly cautious 2020, and with generally greater optimism about improving global macroeconomic condition, this translated to the group experiencing a surge in customer demand for this quarter. The operational and field teams executed well to fulfill delivery commitments to our customers. Here, please note that we were recently awarded a Distinguished 2020 Supplier Achievement Award for our COVID-19 response by Intel Corporation. This is a special recognition for ensuring uninterrupted supply to them through the pandemic period. This exemplifies our ethos of unwavering commitment. Last but certainly not least, there is an overwhelming customer base for advanced packaging solutions. We have been building up the industry's most comprehensive product portfolio of advanced packaging solutions, and I believe we have the broadest and the most compelling set of interconnect solutions for the whole spectrum of customer needs. This range from mainstream to the most complex interconnects for system-in-package or SiP solutions. For example, our clear leadership in thermal compression bonding, or TCB, is a testament to customer receptivity towards this approach, which we have carefully cultivated. We achieved a significant milestone with the delivery of a 250th TCB tool to customers in February this year. Another significant area is hybrid bonding, which we are diligently working on with key partners to realize its potential. Hybrid bonding solution is on track for delivery later this year, and we believe that we are in an excellent position to drive greater adoption for this advanced technology in time to come. Similarly, our other advanced packaging solutions are experiencing a broadening of their customer bases, led by the confluence of end-user market demands in high-end CPU, GPU, and XPU applications. I will now pass the time to Patricia to run through the financials.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning, everyone. Let me give some highlights of our first quarter 2021 performance. I'm pleased to share that the group has delivered a strong first quarter 2021 group financial results. This chart summarizes some of the key metrics for performance for this quarter. Group revenue of $559 million surpassed the guidance, while bookings of $1.01 billion were at an all-time high. Significantly, our gross margins of 39.6% represented a sharp improvement compared to the previous quarter, while net profit of $528 million followed a strong gross profit performance this quarter. Finally, our total cash and bank deposits at the end of the quarter continued to strengthen to $4.6 billion. Let me now go into a bit more detail about our group performance, followed by each of our two segments' performance. To begin, the key takeaway from the group financial performance for this quarter was the record group bookings backed by broad-based customer demand. Now, let's dive deeper. As you can see here, in the first quarter this year, both group revenue and bookings surpassed the guidance. The group's first quarter revenue of $559 million represented a strong 45.6% growth year on year. Notably, the quarter's revenue was still as strong as the last quarter's, which was unusually strong and exceeded the top end of our guidance as well. Our first quarter revenue performance was underpinned by the move towards semiconductor self-sufficiency, secular growth trends, such as accelerated digital transformation, the continued general recovery, automotive electrification, and the global 5G rollout. Booking momentum was even greater. This was a high bookings level for us, to the tune of $1.01 billion, significantly exceeding the $700 million bookings guidance. This is a phenomenal year-on-year 73.4% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 86.4%. The group's gross margin this quarter of 39.6% is a quarter-on-quarter improvement of 412 bps, and both the semi and SMT segments registered improvement in this area. Significantly, our strong group's gross margin performance helped drive our group net profit to HK$528 million, a substantial 52% Q-on-Q improvement over an already strong previous quarter, and a nearly 20 times improvement a year. This figure includes the share of results from our joint venture AAMI. We ended this quarter with a record backlog of $1.21 billion and a high book-to-bill ratio of 1.8, part due to the surge in this quarter's bookings. Next, let's look at our semi-segment's first quarter performance. The most noteworthy aspect of this segment this quarter were its record bookings and a strong rebound in gross margin. This segment delivered a strong revenue of $349 million, representing robust growth of 78.7% year-on-year and 13.8% Q-on-Q. Let me give a bit more detail. For its IC discrete business unit, demand a broad range of applications, including mobile and personal computing devices, high-performance in 5G infrastructure and devices, particularly in China, and both discrete and power management applications related to general automotive, industrial, and automotive electrification. The optoelectronics business unit recorded a strong trend from conventional fine pitch display and general light and an encouraging increase in the number of mini LED customers taking delivery for high volume manufacturing activities. The segment recorded a strong year-on-year and Q-on-Q bookings growth. In particular, the record were dominated by its die and wire bonder products. The IC discrete business unit saw record bookings. The optoelectronics business unit reported a strong demand for its mini LED tools. And the CIS business unit registered a strong Q-on-Q increase in bookings. Next, as mentioned at the start of this slide, the segment's gross margin rebounded significantly to 44%, which represents a Q-on-Q 503 bps improvement. This can be attributed to a combination of a higher volume and utilization, increased productivity with a leaner workforce, and also some positive effect from the rollout of the group's strategic initiatives. Moving into the SMT segment's first quarter 2021 performance, the key highlights was its record bookings that were driven by broad-based demand across end markets. The segment delivered revenue of $210.6 million this quarter, accounting for 37.7% of the group revenue. This represented a year-on-year growth of 11.4%. While the segment's mainstream placement and the printing tools were still its largest revenue contributor, there was continued growth in its advanced packaging tools, which are high-accuracy SMT systems or SIP applications, particularly for wearables and 5G-related devices. Further, the segment's equipment services and spare parts business also returned to healthy pre-pandemic levels, indicating a normalizing of manufacturing activity levels among its European and American-based customers. Gross margin showed a Q-on-Q improvement, mainly due to the relatively higher mix of advanced tools and smart manufacturing solutions, despite this being a seasonally lower quarter for revenue. As you can see, we have a well-diversified revenue stream. The top five markets that contributed to group revenue were China, including Hong Kong, Europe, the Americas, Taiwan, and Korea. We also saw increased contribution this quarter from Taiwan, Korea, and Thailand. Among our customers, our top five accounted for less than 17% of our quarterly revenue, reflecting a high degree of customer diversity. I will now hand the time back to Robin to share about our application trends and our outlook for the business.
Thank you, Patricia. Let me share some insights into this quarter's record bookings from the end market perspective. The key takeaway was the strong increase in demand for tools, especially for automotive and industrial applications. In automotive, the continued rebound has been driven by the general automotive recovery momentum we began seeing the later part of 2020, which has continued into this quarter. This was in tandem with a growth in automotive electrification applications, which increased demand for discrete and power management applications from the semi segment. For industrial applications, there is a growing demand for power management solutions, such as EV charging stations, and a rising adoption of efficient energy management for smart grids, smart industrial, and automation solutions. As for the broader computers, communication, and consumer category, there are a variety of trends. First, demand for high-performance computing, wearables, gaming consoles, smartphones, and appliances continue to drive both advanced packaging and SIP tool growth. Next, the multi-year global 5G rollout continues to benefit semi and SMT at both device and infrastructure levels as customers increase their investments to address the higher volume of electronic content in 5G components versus 4G, plus greater complexity requirements for advanced NOX chips and radio frequency modules. And for our optoelectronic business, we have seen increased adoption of high-volume manufacturing tools for mini LED, while momentum continues for its conventional 5-pitch display and general lighting tools. Let me now give you some context behind our outlook. We believe that the current data-centric computing era we're in, along with the long-term secular trends such as 5G, automotive electrification, autonomous driving, AIoT, or artificial intelligence of things, and advanced packaging, is compelling industry to transform in order to prepare for the future. We believe this will drive significantly higher non-discretionary silicon consumption and investment in capital expenditure to meet these new needs. We also believe that the world is at the early of a multi-year data-centric era and is essential for sustained growth. Here is the outlook for our business in the near term. Global semiconductor chip supply constraints continue to pose a challenge for the group, as it does for other market participants. Based on current market expectations and supported by our strong backlog, and of course, barring unforeseen circumstances, we expect to achieve quarterly revenue for the second quarter of 2021 of between $600 million to $650 million US dollars. We also expect that the second half of the year 2021 revenue performance is strong. Thank you, and we are now ready for Q&A.
Thank you, Robin. We will officially start the Q&A session. Let me remind you again, for the Q&A session, please either use the raise hand function and we will allow you to unmute yourself for you to ask your question, or you can type your question in the chat to ASMPT Q&A/Romil Singh, and we can read on your behalf. We have the first round of questions from Siti Atha. Atha, you can unmute yourself and ask your question, please.
Hi, congratulations, Robin and Patricia, and also the management team. This is Atha Lai from the Siti. So I have two questions. Number one is on the margin, and number two is on the EV. So on the margin side, I want to ask Robin, what have you done in the recent quarter to drive this margin up about 10%? And the second question is on the EV. So we just mentioned that there is a secular chain, and what's the product offering from us? Thank you.
Good morning, Arthur. This is Patricia. I would like to answer your question regarding our Q1 gross margin. First of all, in our previous call, we mentioned that the gross margin impact be consolidating the material segment and some margin accretive effect from our product portfolio simplification initiative will help improve our gross margin by between 300 bips to 400 bips. With that in mind, the Q4 2020 group gross margin, excluding the material segment and the one-off inventory provision, would be around 37%. So in fact, our Q1 gross margin performance achieved more than what have been shared last quarter. So in Q1 2021, group gross margin is now 39.6% as a result of the favorable segment revenue mix contribution and the volume effect. Also improved the productivity with the leaner workforce, and also some margin accretive effect from the strategic initiatives such as the product portfolio simplification, better internal resources utilization after cutting down long tail products, and some procurement cost savings.
Thank you, Patricia. For the second question, I would request Robin to answer. This is more on the EV side product offering.
Yes, Arthur. We believe we have a really a comprehensive offering of tools, you know, to address the EV market. Mainly, in our opinion, right now is mainstream tools, you know, the wire bonders, the die bonders, you know, phones, and also the test center, for example. Now, we have a good offering of a solution to cover a spectrum of packaging and application needs, you know, such as ICs, packaging, power discrete modules, SIP control units, power modules, and of course, we are now also addressing, you know, terminal modules in cars as well for EVs as well as the general automotive.
Thanks, Robin. Next round of questions will be from Laping. After that will be Arthur again. Laping, you can unmute yourself, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Laping from Huatai. So I have two questions. The first question is based on, it's the first time I saw that your BB ratio reached 1.8. And Robin, based on your operation, I mean, you run the company for many years. So what's the historical pattern if on the BB ratio? How sustainable of this such BB ratio is so high? And because I see your second quarter revenue is only 600 to 650. So versus your booking is so high. So do you facing some capacity constraint now when to deliver your customers the requirement? Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. I think the B2B ratio is probably one of the highest, I think, in history. Now, as to your question, what's driving this booking high, right? Okay. Now, let me give you some a little bit of color, you know, in terms of the bookings. As you look at the headlines for our announcement, we are experiencing a very broad based kind of a demand for our bookings, and we also mentioned in the announcement that we are looking at the underlying long-term cyclical growth trends, you know, really driving this growth in terms of demand. We have mentioned many times before for many quarters. Accelerated digital transformation is definitely in the play. Also, many countries are now seeking semiconductor self-sufficiency. So that also drives a lot of demand in those areas. Improved automotive and industrial markets. We see in this quarter especially, very active demand coming from automotive and industrial markets. Now, you also mentioned about, you know, our billing forecast for Q2 is around 600 to 650 million. Whether we are facing any capacity constraint, I think certainly, as we also mentioned in the announcement, the supply chain constraint is still a prevailing concern for us. So we are actively managing this and bringing in components, not just for ourselves, but also helping, you know, our EM or external manufacturing, you know, as far as we can, to also bring in the necessary components, you know, for EM, you know, to build our tools. Huh? So certainly, supply chain will remain a constraint, but you know, we are trying our best, you know, to make sure that this can be mitigated, you know, in the next few quarters to come.
Thank you, Robin. For next round of questions, can I request Kena to unmute yourself and ask your questions?
Yes, thanks for taking my questions. Actually, I wanted to ask about the outlook outlook more color into the second quarter. Because like, we see upward base demand, and also you address like CIS is also seeing a QQ pickup in the booking. And at the end, what should we expect about the business mix in terms of the growth rate that that we could expect, which one is higher in the second quarter from like CIS, semis, general semi or optoelectronic or like SMT, that eventually that will also affect the directions of like gross margin improvement.
Yeah. So Kita, if I can give you a little bit more color into our Q1 booking, you know, so that might help, you know. So Q1 booking I mentioned earlier, supported by those trends, a little bit more color is kind of tools that we are seeing. So at the kind of volume, obviously, you know, the mainstream tools, you know, for semi and for SMT will have to feature prominently. So these are basically tools for capacity expansion. Now, in terms of advanced packaging, we also see advanced packaging tools for ourselves are pretty strong, you know, compared to the previous quarter. So, in fact, you know, bookings grew Q-on-Q and also year-on-year in absolute terms for advanced packaging. So we are happy that, you know, our advanced packaging tools are, in fact, gaining traction in the market. Now, besides advanced packaging tools, notably, we also mentioned in our announcement that we see many LED tools are probably reaching an inflection point. You know, we see more customers taking delivery, you know, for many LED tools for high volume production. And AE tools, active alignment tools, this quarter was also pretty strong. And the demand has increased on Q. So I hope this will give you, you know, some color as to what to come in a couple of quarters.
Thanks. Then I have a follow-up question on advanced packaging. We see like BESI said that they have received the initial order for a hybrid bonder. The ASM Pacific actually expect the launch of products in the second half. So what's the disconnect here? Because I think ASM has been like leading in these advanced packaging and with like more cutting edge hybrid bonder to launch, that is the market expectation as well. So could you let us know more about like the difference or like the progress in that area, and what should we expect the contribution from these like chiplet or hybrid bonder eventually in the future?
When we look at news like this, you know, in fact on the contrary, we think it's good news. I mean it's a sign that the, you know, the industry is coming to accept, you know, the hybrid bonding. So I think we, in the industry, for the industry or for a certain application or technology in the industry to flourish, we need a critical mass, you know. So that's a good news. So, of course we can't comment, on the progress made by our competitor. We can only focus on ourselves. Now, as far as hybrid bonding is concerned, we have been giving indications that we are engaging a broad spectrum, you know, of key customer in this particular area, both on the logic side as well on the memory side. So we are working hard, you know, to deliver our hybrid bonding tool in the later part of this year for some kind of low volume manufacturing. And we believe that the high volume manufacturing activities will come maybe 1 or 2 years later. Now, let's not forget that the hybrid bonding space is still a very nascent space, you know, so we're not going to see high volume activities in this short period of time. You know, probably will take at least 2 to 3 years before high volume will kick in. So from my assessment of the market, getting hybrid bonding technology to gain wider market share, wider market adoption will take a bit more time, you know, and we are really focused on enabling this to happen in time.
Okay, thanks. Maybe I'm back to the queue.
Thanks, Kena. The next three in the queue are Arthur from Citi, KGI, Laura, and Dylan from Morgan Stanley. Can I request Arthur to please unmute himself and ask your question?
Hi, thank you. It's me again. So I have a very simple question. For modeling purpose, can you share the seasonality feelings of this year? Thank you.
Arthur. Now, if you look at our strong bookings in Q1 already, so strong, you know, We believe Q2 bookings will have to moderate, you know, because 1 billion is really, you know, a surge in terms of demand. But however, looking at longer term, you know, I think there are a lot of news recently from research houses that, you know, they are very bullish about the semiconductor market, including the, you know, our own market, the packaging and the assembly market. In fact, one research house has been upgrading, you know, the outlook in a couple of months. So, based on all this sentiment, we believe going forward, you know, although Q2 booking will likely to moderate from Q1, but we believe that the demand going forward will be at an elevated level, you know. So, now, in terms of seasonality, Q2, as I said, bookings will probably moderate. In terms of billing, we are already guiding higher than Q1 at this point in time. Yeah.
Yeah. So the second half could be a better off the first half, right?
Well, you know, looking at the strong backlog that we have, and we believe that the second half, as in our outlook, will continue to be strong.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arthur. Can I request Laura to unmute herself and ask your questions?
Yes, hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My first question is about the gross margin outlook, because looks like packaging order visibility is even stronger than SMT. So can we expect continuous gross margin expansion into second half? That's my first question.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for your question regarding the outlook of our gross margin. First of all, as you know, we do not give immediate term gross margin guidance. However, we can probably provide some color in the mid to longer term trend of our gross margin. The near term gross margin improvement will maintain based on our good performance in Q1, but we all know that it's also influenced by volume and mix. And with that in mind, we expect Q2 billings higher than Q1 billings, and the favorable segment sales contribution will sustain. And for the longer term, the strategic initiatives are intended for our gross margin accretive effect. So with the above, it should be a strong background for our longer term gross margin improvement.
Thank you very much. And also on the growth outlook in various applications, we know that the demand outlook seems to be quite strong across the board. But that would be very helpful if you can give us more details about your view on various applications, and particularly like advanced packaging, hybrid bonder. I think you discussed that Kina asked that earlier, but that will be very appreciated if you can give us more outlook about the CIS, the mini LED, and the various applications growth outlook, probably in the near term and the longer term. Thanks.
Okay, I take this question. Now, I think I can give you some very general outlook. Now, looking at the demand across the few quarters, when the pandemic hit, you know, we see computing was, the demand was strong. It started with computing a demand, and then followed by communications, you know, to enable all these computing devices, you know, to be connected and so forth. And then lately, since the last Q4 till Q1, we see automotive and in general automotive and the automotive electrification trend demand seem to be picking up fairly strongly. And we believe with the we believe with the general economic recovery of the world in time to come, consumers' demand will also start to pick up. So for example, I mean, we have been talking about 5G smartphones, so we believe that this year, as predicted by many research houses, 5G smartphones demand will continue to grow, and this will bode well for our CI, not just for our mainstream ICD tools, but also for our CIS business as well. Now, for mini LED, I've already mentioned just now, maybe worth repeating here, we see an inflection point for mini LED. We see customers are now willing to take more volume LED delivery, for their high volume activities. So LED is, mini LED trend is very encouraging for us. Now, in terms of hybrid bonding, I've already mentioned about it when Kina asked just now. So I hope I've answered all your questions, Laura.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Laura. The next two on the list will be Morgan Stanley, Dylan, and from HSBC, Frank. So can I please request Dylan to unmute and ask your questions?
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congrats on the strong performance. So my first question would be, for the capacity expansion, you mentioned we're going to expand our mainstream tools, capacity for semi-solutions and SMT. May I ask, when do we expect this kind of capacity expansion to complete? Is it in the coming quarters or any timing? Any color on the timing would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, looking at the strong demand, we would definitely have to pace our capacity expansion, in line with the demand signal. So we are looking, of course, also at increasing our outsourcing activities because we are not going to rely solely on internal. So external outsourcing, increasing our capacity is probably the healthy way of, expanding our capacity. So we are looking into that. Internally, we will also debottleneck some of our internal capacity to strike a more balanced a capacity workload between internal and external. Now, for internal, we believe by we could add headcount pretty easily, so in a short time we could add headcount to increase our capacity in the assembly area. If we have to add some tools, for fabrication in-house, then that may take a little bit longer because the world, when we talk about supply chain constraint, it's not just affecting the semiconductor industry. It's also affecting the general industry worldwide. So tool supplier for our production are also facing supply chain constraint. So that's how we are dealing with it. So we are pacing our capacity in line with the demand signal.
Thanks, Robin. Can I please request Frank to unmute himself and ask your questions? Thanks.
Hi guys, thank you for the question, for giving me a chance to ask questions. So I wanted to just follow up a bit something on your presentation, which is you talked about your business is picking up from different regions. Particularly, I think you talked about business picking up from Taiwan, Korea, and Thailand. The contribution. Can you talk a little bit about the China portion? Because it is the largest part of your revenue. Is that expected to increase in line with the growth we're seeing from other regions?
Yes, certainly, Frank. Without a doubt, with this kind of strong demand, the demand coming from China has to be the largest contribution. What we are trying to give you guys some color is that this time around, the demand are not just coming from China in a big way, but also in other regions as well, like Taiwan, Korea, Thailand. And this is a healthy development. So we are not just dependent you know, on one particular region, you know, for the demand. But now we are, the demand are coming more widespread, more broad-based, you know, from Taiwan, Korea, and Thailand.
Okay, sorry. So just to clarify, does that mean that the growth rate for Taiwan, Korea, and Thailand is currently above what we're seeing out of China, or is China still growing?
You can say so, yes, Frank. You can say so. That's why we are calling it out. In terms of percentage increase, they are bigger, yes.
Okay, sorry. And just one last question I have is, on an ASP, I mean, we've talked about demand being very strong, units been very strong. We've seen the entire semiconductor supply chain see price hikes across the board, from foundry guys to IC designers. From an equipment point of view, or what are we seeing the ability for pricing to go up as well?
Certainly. But we will increase prices where it makes sense, you know, because pricing is a very sensitive topic with our customers. So whenever it makes sense for us to increase prices, we will do so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. Next will be Dylan. Dylan, you can unmute yourself and ask your questions. After this, the queue is empty, so you guys can queue up again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just some follow up on the capacity expansion. So let me put it this way. Do we have any expectations of the removal of supply bottleneck from our end? Maybe it's due to supply chain improvement, or maybe it's due to our capacity expansion.
Yeah, Dylan, we are, as I said earlier, we are doing what we can, you know, to really ease the supply chain debt. But there's a limit what we can do. So what we are doing is we, you know, because some of these components that we need are coming from our customers. So we are also working very closely with our customers to tell them, you know, if you want our equipment for your production, you also have to help us, because we need some components, you know, especially electric components. So we are in the kind of relationship right now, talking to customers, helping, asking them to expedite delivery of certain components to us, you know, so that we can also expedite the delivery of such component to them as well. I mean, our equipment to them. So this is how we are trying to manage, the supply chain constraint on our end.
Okay, got it. And my second question is to actually follow up Frank's question. Because you mentioned a healthier pricing environment, probably it's due to the current, semiconductor shortage. And I would like to know if the current gross margin level is also, helped by this healthy pricing environment. And if this healthy pricing environment, kind of mitigate in the future, can we still sustain our current gross margin levels? Thanks.
Yeah. I would say the current margin improvement, as Patricia has mentioned, is really coming more from the volume effect. And the fact that this time around we have a much more productive workforce compared to many years ago. So as you can imagine, you know, we have been, you know, managing our workforce in a very tight fashion, and yet we are able to deliver the kind of performance. So productivity is the key, you know. So as a result, we see improvement in terms of a gross margin. Now for ASP, as I say, is something that, you know, we'll do only when it makes sense. So the impact at this moment is not material.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dylan. Next, can I request Frank to ask his questions? And after Frank will be Kena. Frank, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, guys. Just wanted to follow up on this book-to-billing ratio. It ended at 1.8 in the first quarter. Is that kind of an historical high-level peak compared to what you've seen historically, or what was the previous peak level that we've seen?
Frank, I don't have the exact number, but certainly this 1.8, if it's not the peak, will be very close to the historical peak, yes.
Okay, and based on the guidance you give us of a more moderate, should we imply then that the book-to-bill ratio would be lower in the second quarter?
I can't really tell you at this point in time, but let me give you a little bit of color so far into our Q2 booking so far. You know, so for the first 2 weeks, you know, we see the, as I mentioned earlier, we see momentum still very healthy. You know, although we believe it will moderate from the Q1 number. But as I said, you know, the long-term outlook for the semiconductor is still very bullish. So we believe going forward, the booking will be still at an elevated level.
Okay. And sorry, just to follow up, just in terms of this, as we go into the overall trend of the bookings, if the current situation remains as tight as it is and the outlook is as positive as it is, but you guys are expecting a more moderate booking ratio. Is this more of a function that your customers are also, you know, trending a little bit more moderately, or is this more on, you know, your view that there's a potential, you know, sustainability of this kind of book-to-bill ratio may be difficult, and therefore you guys are taking a more conservative approach? I'm just trying to understand, I guess, the, you know, if the overall moderate orders, is it more of from your end customer, or is it more, you know, the management's view that, you know, it, this current state might be tough to sustain?
Well, we always talk in comparison, you know, with Q1. As I said, Q1 was really a very high quarter in terms of booking. You know, so we believe that, you know, this is this will moderate in Q2. So I can't really tell you in terms of book-to-bill ratio at this point going forward. But I would like to reiterate again that the booking level we see going forward will be at an elevated level, you know, compared to maybe previous quarter because of the very bullish outlook everyone is saying about the semiconductor industry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Next will be Kena from Credit Suisse. And after that will be Arthur from Citi. Kena, can you please ask your question? Thank you.
Thanks for taking my my follow-up question. So just wanted to ask, because usually the booking will be shipped in the next quarter, but due to the supply constraint, how will be this like 1 billion booking, will be shipped in the coming quarter?
A lot of packaging customers are still Chinese customers. Will they get some like indirect impact if there are some like foundry side goes to the downstream? Will there be some like potential impact looking forward from your business engagement perspective or when you talk to your OSAT customers at this moment?
I still don't quite understand your question, but maybe I give you a general answer. I hope that helps. Now, if you're talking about ultimately, you know, self-sufficiency kind of drive among all the customers, I think in general, self-sufficiency kind of activities or priorities by our customers are actually have a beneficial impact for equipment supply like us. You know, because we are neutral as long as we can supply, you know, equipment to this customer wherever they are. You know, this actually bodes well for our customer. I hope I'm giving you a general answer because I don't really know exactly where you're coming from, but I hope that helps. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Laura. The next two on the call will be Sunny from UBS and Simon from BOA. Can I request Sunny to please ask the question?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Congrats on the good results. I have a few follow-up on my side. So first one, on booking for Q2, when you said the booking will be more moderate, may I clarify with you, do you mean growth will be slower or the absolute amount for booking will decline?
As I said earlier, you know, Q1 booking is at 1 billion. So we believe Q2 booking will have to moderate down from that number. You know, of course, if in the end by Q2 we report, you know, it's another billion, I think that would be a very good news, you know, but we don't think so at this point in time. It has to moderate from a very high level.
Got it. That's helpful. My second follow-up is if we look at your revenue for semis and SMT, pretty clearly semis is approaching a historical record high. But I think SMT, there's still a bit of gap versus historical record in 2018. And I'm not sure if that's a good indication for your utilization rate for SMT. Meaning, if we think about next few quarters, would it be fair to assume that there may be more upside coming from SMT since you would have a bit of room for further loading rate?
Yes, Sunny, yes. If you have been following our business model, right, we have been saying intuitively it makes a lot of sense because SMT is actually, you look at the whole supply chain, we have to start with the semi first before, you know, before the chips can be placed on the PCB, right? So when we start to see such strong demand, you know, on the semi side, ultimately we believe it has to flow down to the SMT. I think this is very intuitive, you know, so it's a matter of time. In fact, we probably already seeing some kind of shift already because Q1 booking for SMT already a record quarter, you know, so I think SMT going forward, you know, will benefit from this trend.
Got it. Well, maybe a more detailed follow-up is because I'm trying to understand how much upside can you achieve for these two divisions. And I think you have mentioned that for semis, you are already running at very high loading. But I will assume for SMT, perhaps comparatively, the utilization rate would be slightly lower. And so with a broader recovery in SMT as well. Should I assume stronger demand for SMT for Q2 and also into second half?
As I said, looking at the supply chain dynamics, you know, we already seeing some strong demand in the semi side. So I think SMT, the industry SMT as a whole, I think will stand to see the demand flowing into SMT in time to come. Now, for ourselves, we are preparing for that. So SMT are also poised, you know, to pace the capacity expansion in line with the demand signal.
Got it. My last question is on your manufacturing for backend. I think you mentioned you use both internal production and also outsourcing. Could you give us some idea around the split? Just try to understand if you try to increase the outsourcing, how much upside could you achieve in terms of the supply?
I can give you some color. Now, at the moment, you can imagine with the kind of high level of billing and also the forecast going forward, we are already extensively using external manufacturing, you know, outsource partner basically, you know, to complement the internal capacity. And this will succeed, will continue, and we will keep you know, pace of adding capacity both outwards and both external and internal in line with what we see from the market.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sunny. Next, can I please request Simon to ask the questions?
Yes, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
You are breaking a little bit, but yeah, please go ahead.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. So number one, sorry, back to some geopolitical related question. Any rough idea the percentage of the your US related patent or IPs, particularly the semiconductor solution? For example, you know, the wire bonders, die bonders. What percentage of your, you know, the sources or patents belong to the U.S. Related? Or you can say very minimal, given the fact mostly the Europe-based or China, Hong Kong-based. So could you share the color on this?
Yeah, you're right, Simon. I think for the mainstream tools, wire bond and die bond, we have been developing these in Asia for decades already. So you can imagine these are all developed from the Asian basis.
Yep. And then secondly, given the fact the Q1 the bookings for the semis kind of the over 100% up year on year, and also the revenue growing strongly. So what are your current the capacity or utilization ratio, and also how to meet such a strong timeline growth with your almost the full utilized capacity then?
Yeah, I think as far as internal capacity is concerned, we already have a very high utilization. So that's why, you know, there's still some operating leverage over there. So that's why when Patricia mentioned about volume effect, you know, we still have some operating leverage on the internal capacity side. Now, as for external capacity, as I mentioned earlier, Simon, we are actively expanding, you know, looking for expansion or rather, you know, for external manufacturing capacity. So this, as I say, will have to be done carefully in tandem with what we see from the market in terms of, you know, their demand signal. As I've always been saying a few times already in this call, we will pace our capacity in line with our demand signal.
Yeah. And then lastly, very quickly, given the fact TSMC and Samsung is the world's largest, you know, spenders for the semis areas, and also they are very strong in the logic chip or memory. But when we look at your revenue breakdown by region or country, we do see very minimal exposure to Korea or Taiwan. So you don't have any direct business for TSMC or Samsung with the kind of the wafer level packaging or SIP, or because TSMC Samsung continuously expanding, you know, advanced, you know, the backend solutions. So we wonder why your exposure quite small for Korea particularly. Thank you.
So Simon, you have to look back a few more quarters because as I mentioned earlier, you know, to one of the questions posted by the one of you, we see Taiwan. We see Korea, we see Thailand, you know, increasing. So you can imagine, in this world of AP, you know, basically it resides in a few regions. China, Taiwan, Korea, Europe, America at this point in time. And we have been saying, you know, as far as our AP solution is concerned, you know, we are perhaps the most comprehensive. And we are engaging a broad range of customers in this AP space. So unfortunately, Simon, I cannot comment directly on whether we are dealing with certain companies, but this is a color I can give it to you.
So you are saying the integrated Asia, like Asia Pacific region is a collectively kind of the one big area.
The AP activities that we are seeing strong is really in China, in Korea, in Japan, I forgot Japan just now, sorry, in Taiwan, of course, and that's the Asian AP activity area, and of course, our Asia will be Europe and the US.
Yeah, very clear, sir. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the great results. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks, Simon. Can I next request the person from CICC to ask questions? Thank you.
Hello, thank you. And hello, Robin, and hello, Patricia. This is Qiao Sheng from CICC. So actually, I have two questions. The first one is that can you share more color on your product mix on the IC and discrete side? Since last time, I think you mentioned that the wire bonders actually carry lower margin, right? But in the first quarter, I see your gross margin in the semi side continue to improve. So I just wonder if the wire bonder is still the main driver of the semi segment. Thank you.
Yeah, Charlton. Now, if you look at the kind of demand, you know, obviously it has the mainstream tools like die bond and wire bond will have to be, will form the largest mix in the demand. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean, the rest like AP or mini LED or CIS are slow. We are only talking about relative terms, you know, but with $1 billion of demand, you can imagine the majority will have to come from the mainstream tools. Now, as to your question, yes, we see a strong wire bond demand, but however, Patricia has already mentioned, our gross margin is also a function of volume. You know, so when we have the volume, there'll be operating leverages. So that will compensate somewhat, you know, the relatively lower wire bond margin compared to the rest of the portfolio. Yeah. And also, as I said, mainstream too, and not just wire bond, but also die bond. So typically die bond have a relatively higher gross margin, you know, compared to a margin compared to the wire bond. So it is a mixture of all this. You know, you just can't say that because wire bond is up, you know, then the margin will be low. It is not as simple as that, unfortunately.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Please go ahead, another question, yeah. Do you have another follow-up question?
Yeah, I have one follow-up. Thank you, Robin. And the next question is about the CIS outlook. So do you expect that the camera camera module suppliers still project to have a large scale of capacity expansion this year? So, and what's the main driver behind this? Is still mainly related to the smartphone side or is the automotive side? Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, I think we mentioned earlier, as far as booking is concerned for our CIS, strong, you know, especially Q on Q. So this is a sign that our CIS customers are also confident in ordering equipment. So we suppose, because if you look at the 5G, the stream of 5G phones coming out, so this bodes well for the smartphone market. So I think it's quite intuitive. Everybody is talking about the number of smartphones this year will perhaps be bigger than last year. So we believe that is driving our CIS demand this year. Now, as for automotive, yes, we are also addressing the automotive camera module market. But we mentioned already before, this is still a very small market for us at this point in time. So largely our camera module market is really on the consumer side, the smartphone side.
Hi, we will have one last round of questions. Kena, can you please go ahead and ask your questions?
Thanks for taking my question as the last question. Actually, I have a question. It's more regarding, the geographic risk. I mean, as a previous investor or analyst already asked some of that, but we see the, U.S. government seems considering put stricter like procurement for those, Chinese customers to buy with the U.S. technology. Just wonder if there will be any impact on ASM Pacific because China's market is accounting like for, is it 50%, over 50% of the revenue. So understood that in the past we have discussing about the some entity lead impact to certain customer, but if there's a forbid or like stricter procurement rules from US to Chinese customer, then any impact you could suggest or like give us some idea what should we see on this issue?
Now, Kina, your question is very broad and perhaps also a little bit more forward-looking, you know. So we can't really comment what's going to happen in the future. But at this moment, we I would say we are not impacted, you know, because we are really quite diversified in terms of where our products are being made, you know. So we have, as I said, we have manufacturing bases in Asia. Of course, next is in the US. We also have manufacturing bases in Europe for SMT in particular. So from that perspective, we are well, kind of well covered geographically in terms of addressing issues like this. So I think I can only give you a general color. I can't really tell you in future what's going to happen, you know, when more and more restrictions are placed on all these supply chain.
What if like U.S. government will ban, I mean, U.S. company buying equipment from China, then you have some equipment actually made in China. Perhaps some is actually shipped from like Singapore or Hong Kong, but you think, yeah, that will be the impact to your U.S. revenue that maybe, yeah, high single digit revenue contribution.
Sure, thanks, Kina. I know where you're coming from. As I said, we not only have bases, manufacturing bases in China, we also have a big manufacturing base in Malaysia. So in fact, we are already addressing some of these concerns. So by diversifying some of our product portfolio, not just manufacturing in China alone, but also manufacturing in Malaysia. So this will address perhaps a concern about shipment to certain country. Yeah.
Got you. Thanks.
Thank you, Kena. With that, officially we'll be ending this call. On behalf of Robin and Patricia, I want to thank all of you for attending the call and hoping to see all of you during our next call. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.